This is Snowman in the Morning, where true sports talk lives.
Hadouken!
That's us! Spicy meatball!
Tomorrow, I welcome Jim Tucker from the Wheelhouse Baseball Podcast that's run on Wednesday nights, 6 p.m. Eastern on Arena Sportsnet. He'll talk everything baseball and everything Wheelhouse Baseball Podcast. Remember, that is tomorrow when Tuck will join me. Joining me now on the Metro PCS hotline, Smitty from Smitty Sports Machine. Antoine Smith joins me. Good morning.
Hey, Snowman, what's going on?
How you doing, my friend?
Doing good, man. Won't complain.
Thank you. Man, I can't complain either. Let's get right into it. How about this bounce back season by one Andrew Luck?
Oh, man. I did a short video on this a little while ago, probably about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it's been, you know, rather amazing sighting that me, myself, personally, I think they should have traded him. Mm-hmm. But it's a good thing that they didn't because he showed that if anybody keeps their head in the game, they can bounce back.
399 yards yesterday against the Houston Texans, and the right. Colts avenged one of their biggest losses of the year, and they did it on the road.
Yeah, and what was so amazing about yesterday, if you look back just a week ago, they got shut out, you know, which I thought did them in, but, you know, the type of coach that they have right now, you know, it shows me that he knows how to lead a team. Because in the NFL today, if you get shut out, you know, 9 times out of 10, that means your team is going to head in the wrong direction. But they kept their heads up and they stayed focused. And they beat one of the hottest teams in the NFL, which shows me that they don't have any quit in them.
Here's what's interesting about the Colts. Houston wins in Indianapolis to start their 9-game win streak. And then the Colts come back with an AFC South road win to close that 9-game winning streak. And the second quarter belonged to Andrew Luck and the Colts. After the Texans took a 7-0 lead, Andrew Luck responded with three scoring drives. All of them, three scoring drives, two touchdowns, and a field goal. How big was that second quarter, not just for the confidence of Andrew Luck, but for the Colts team?
It was a big momentum shift for the whole team. If you get the offense rolling in the right direction, the defense will follow. And it was a big pickup for the entire team because it gave the defense, you know, enough, you know, how should I put it, a little bit of swag because that Houston Texans offense is nothing to play with. And if your defense can pick it up to slow that offense down, then, you know, it's, you know, it's just enough to, you know, to put your team, you know, in hindsight and put them on another level.
This is true.
Because I've told you this, you know, on numerous occasions. The Colts would probably be a scary team if they got in the playoffs. Like a couple of more teams that I can think of, but with a quarterback like Andrew Luck, who has been to the AFC Championship game, he knows how to get there. He knows what it takes. So he would probably rather choose to make a good run if they make the playoffs.
They would go deep into January if the Colts got into the playoffs. Here's another game I want to highlight and the last play thereof, and I think you know the game I'm going to bring up. It occurred in Miami.
Right.
The lateral to the Miami Miracle, Kenyon Drake raced in from 59 yards off of a pair of laterals when it seemed like the Patriots had put the game away, up 33-28, and the Dolphins got one final shot, and they executed that last play perfectly.
Right. Oh, boy, I bet it was some hot people on that flight back to New England. to me, it seemed like they caught a Eugene Robinson syndrome because every time that they go to Miami, you know, they just don't measure up.
Right, they don't.
Why, I don't know. Whew, I guess it's the party the night before, but, hey, it is what it is.
But why doesn't Tom Brady, and this has been true the last 6 years, why doesn't Tom Brady perform well in Miami?
I don't know if it's the cold weather or the grass. I don't know what it is. But it why he can't focus when he gets to Miami. Maybe it goes back to what I said about 10 seconds ago with the Eugene Robinson syndrome. Maybe yeah. he has it too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's something that we all, you know, are looking for an answer.
Yeah, I really don't get it. And then it took a miracle for the Dolphins to walk off. But if you look at the first half of that game, every time New England punched it in, Miami had an answer.
Right. And for those that don't know, Miami has played New England well, no matter if it's in Miami or in New England.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the color of the uniforms, but it just seems that Tom Brady is just his kryptonite. And to be honest, they're still in the playoff race somehow. Very slim they're in, but if they find a way to, you know, win out and get some help along the way, it assures me that Tom Brady, this might be his last year or might be his last run towards the Super Bowl, because the AFC is deep this year.
It really is deep, and let's stay in the AFC for a moment. How about the rally by the Kansas City Chiefs at home?
Oh, man. I know that the MVP race is really down to three people, and that's Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes. And I was still, well, I don't know about Todd Gurley right now, but Andrew Luck would probably, you know, take over Todd Gurley for that third spot. And to be honest, Patrick Mahomes is going to run away with it.
Yeah.
He's Brett Favre, Dan Marino, all wrapped up into one.
That 4th-and-9 conversion on the game-tying drive in the final minute. He needed 9, and he got, I believe, 48 yards to Tyreek Hill.
Yes. Yep.
You don't see many people make that kind of throw and complete it.
No, you don't. And it's not only Patrick Mahomes, it's Andy Reid also. Andy Reid had enough confidence for him to call that play and to execute it, you know, to a T. So Andy Reid gets, you know, my vote, you know, as one of the great coaches in NFL history. And not only that, I think he should be in, you know, contention for Coach of the Year.
Yeah, he should be in contention for Coach of the Year. I will give you that. I will definitely give you that. But speaking of a surprise team, how about those Bears?
Oh, man. It really wasn't a surprise, because LA is a, you know, warm nature team, and you know, the cold, the elements, you know, took over towards the end of the game. The ball was, you know, sliding off both quarterback hands. So the run game, you know, was going to be key to winning this game, and it's just something that the Rams couldn't do. And it, you know, subdued the men towards the end.
Were the Rams exposed defensively, you think, playing the Bears last night in Chicago?
I don't think so. I think, like I said, I think it was the elements, because actually the Rams played pretty good on, you know, defense. It just, their offense couldn't get going. A team putting up 34 points a game, only scored, you know, 2 field goals the whole game. That was their downfall. So I think the defense played well. So, but if you shut the offense down, what do they have?
And the other thing is, those 2 field goals came in the first half. That right. Bears defense was all over the Rams from the start of the game and shut them out in the second half.
Right. And they took advantage of Jerry Goss. I doubt the receiver. He did it, you know, a lot, you know, most of the game, which is why he threw 3 interceptions, because he kept eyeing down the receiver. And Todd Gurley couldn't get it going, like I said, either in the pass game or the run game. So you shut down Todd Gurley, you shut down the Rams.
How big is the immobility of Jared Goff causing the Rams to not only lose that one, they lost in New Orleans, but all season it has been shown, and we've seen, that Jared Goff is just not mobile, especially to run that kind of West Coast offense.
It'll hurt them, you know, to a certain extent, but he's a pocket passing quarterback, and they know that. So they have to find a way, you know, to use his immobility and use his pocket passing presence, you know, call better plays and be a little bit more creative with the pass game.
So much more we're going to get into probably later in the week. One more game we'll break down really quick. How about the performance? We talked about Eric Ebron off the air. How about the performance of George Kittle yesterday for the 49ers?
Man, that was one of the most incredible performances by a tight end I have seen in a very long time. When I saw that, it made me wonder, you know, why they got rid of Vance McDonald and traded him to the Steelers. After yesterday's game, I seen why.
Well, I knew at the top of the season Kittle was going to be one of their key pass catchers. Now, it's unfortunate that Garoppolo went down with his injury. But I will say this. When Garoppolo comes back and he gets that chemistry with George Kittle, imagine how dangerous this 49er offense is really going to be.
Yes, it'll be very dangerous. It'll be a Brady to Gronkowski type deal.
Yeah.
And also to add on top of that, if the 49ers can get that every down running back, I think it puts them in contention for the next couple of years.
It will, but there's one problem I've seen with San Francisco, and it's been true since the Harbaugh era, and I think you've seen it too, Smitty. They only get field goals in the red zone. It's been true all year long. Now, they got a touchdown in the red zone in the second quarter yesterday, but the red zone woes have been true the last 5 years. How do they solve that going forward?
Ooh, that's a good question. Like I said before, creative play calling, and they haven't had, you know, a red zone type running back since Frank Gore.
True.
So with Frank Gore leaving, you know, that killed their, you know, red zone presence. So they have to get a power back. They have to, you know, be more creative on offense. And, you know, the offensive coordinator, you know, he has to know how to use his strength in the red zone. They don't have, you know, a really true number one receiver.
Yeah.
So since they don't have a number one receiver, that, you know, that exits something out also. So not having a number one receiver, you have a great tight end, and no power back in the red zone, it's going to be hard to score.
It really is. It really is. Antoine Smith, the Smitty Sports Machine, joining me as he does every Monday to break down the weekly happenings in the NFL. Tell the world where they can find you, my friend.
They can find me on Twitter at FatBoySlim_21, FatBoySlim_21. Catch me on Instagram at AN2WON. And you can catch me on Facebook in the Sports Machine group or Smitty Sports Machine. And also catch me on YouTube, Smitty Sports Machine, where I break down some of the latest topics in sports by video.
And that's where you can find him, folks. I love this man dearly. Love when he comes on and brings the Sports Machine to Snowman in the Morning. Thanks a lot, my friend. Pleasure talking to you as always.
All right, man. No problem.
Antoine Smith, the Smitty Sports Machine, joining me here. I'm going to take a pause for a break, and I'll look into the 49ers woes in the red zone even further, because he highlighted two very important things that the 49ers need to fix, and they got the right person in place to fix them. That's next after the break.